let me ask you, as everybody's settling in and getting ready for the Word, what are you looking for this Christmas? What are you looking for? What are you hoping to see this Christmas? Are you looking for spending time with family and friends this Christmas? Are you looking for maybe making some homemade fudge? Are you looking maybe to eat certain special foods or maybe go see the Christmas lights? Or maybe just get some time off from work? Or maybe watching Christmas movies? What are you looking for this Christmas season? We're all expecting something for Christmas. Even if our expectations are just to stay home and get some much-needed rest. But you do realize your expectations control your conduct. Your expectations control your conduct. Isn't that true? Think of elementary kids. If you got young elementary kids at home on Christmas morning, they're probably, as the sun begins to just first get daylight, come running into your bedroom, jumping on your bed saying, "Dad, Mom, it's Christmas. It's time to get up. Wake up." Why? Because their expectation is, there's presents in that tree. I want to get to them, right? It controls their expectations. Those same kids, though, when it's time to have the go back to school that first Monday back, you can't drag them out of bed hardly. It's like, come on, it's time to wake up. Rise and shine. My dad would go in there and he'd just pull the window blind all the way up to the top, right? He'd say, come on, time to get up, time to go, time for school. Oh, I don't feel like going. I don't feel good. Why? Because no kid wants to go back to school after Christmas break, right? Their expectation is, one more day, please, right? Our expectations control our conduct. What are you looking for this Christmas? What do you hope to see? This morning in Matthew chapter 2, we're going to read the story of the wise men who followed a star. And before I read Matthew 2, I want to just clear up some misunderstandings or conceptions about these wise men first. The first misconception is this, is that there were three wise men. Well, we don't absolutely know there were three, right? We know that there were three gifts that were given, but the Bible doesn't actually say there were three wise men. It could have been three, could have been five, could have been seven, could have been two. We just know there were more than one, right? And that they brought three gifts. Second misconception. I know that every nativity scene and every house probably has the shepherds there and the wise men. But the wise men weren't there at the nativity. They weren't there at the stable. We tend to picture them there, but they weren't. Because in Matthew chapter 2, all the way down to verse 11, it says that wise men entered the house and saw the child with his mother. They entered the house. You know, Jesus was probably about 2, maybe even possibly 3 years old before the wise men got there. It's a long journey from the east. And third, it kind of always breaks my heart, but because I just like the little drummer boy. But the little drummer boy wasn't there either. I hate to tell you. If you think he's there, no, he wasn't there either. The Bible doesn't mention the little drummer boy, but it's part of the Christmas songs and the stories. And by the way, what in the world would a little drummer boy be there for anyway at night? Can you imagine Mary trying to rock Jesus to sleep and the little drummer boy's banging on his drums? I don't know. I just think that's humorous. But now let's look at Matthew chapter 2 and look at the story by looking at verses 1 and 2. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is this newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it arose, and we've come to do what? To worship him." Who were these wise men? Well, these wise men were men who obviously studied the stars, but they were wealthy, educated men, obviously. They were part of the upper class of their day. In their studies, they most likely read from the scrolls of Isaiah and Daniel. Because in that time period, there were a lot of Jews who lived in the Far East, that lived in the East, like in Arabia and Persia and Babylon. And so these wise men must have gotten a hold of the scrolls of Isaiah and Daniel. And you can literally take the prophecies of Daniel and go all the way down to the year that Jesus is born, if you follow them through. It's pretty amazing. But as they were studying, they realized that the Messiah was to be born. And they wanted on a journey by following a star to meet this new baby. I imagine they told their wives and their friends and their family, we're going to meet a new king of the Jews. This baby that will be born. And the prophecies that we're reading in Isaiah and Daniel say that he will literally change the world. We want to go see him. Yes, it's going to be costly. Yes, it's going to be expensive. Yes, it's going to take us a while. But we want to go because this is an opportunity of a lifetime to meet the King of the Jews, the one that so much is foretold about in the scrolls. That it's God coming to earth. They wanted to go, and why did they want to go? They wanted to go to worship him. They weren't going empty-handed. They wanted to worship him, so they went and got together things that they could give as gifts. You know what they were. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right? The gold was the most valuable of all the metals. It was a standard gift for a king. It was the ultimate sign of honor. So in their sack, I don't know how much gold the Bible doesn't tell us, but there was gold in the sack. There was also frankincense. And you may know frankincense is a very expensive spice. It has a sweet aroma smell to it. It is often used in temple worship. And not only do they bring the spice in a vessel, but they also brought the myrrh, which was another expensive spice. It's an ointment, but it has a very strong smell to it. So strong of a smell that it would be used in burial many times. So Bible scholars or theologians suggest that these three men chose these things, whether they realized it or not, because number one, the gold would point to Jesus' role as being a king, as being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You bring him the very best gold. Brought him frankincense, saying that his role as a priest, because that's where frankincense was often used. Brought him myrrh because of its strong fragrance, that it would remind him that this is a baby born to die. You can tell that these men truly came as worshipers. They wanted to meet this king who would change the world. Their families may thought it was a little strange. Maybe some of their friends thought they were a little crazy. But to them, they could not wait. And when they saw the star, they loaded up and they went. As they're traveling, I wonder what they were talking about. I wonder what they thought that they would see when they got there. What were their expectations? Because in general, expectations control conduct. What were they expecting to see? Wonder if they were expecting to find Jesus in a royal palace. After all, he was a king, the King of the Jews. I wonder if they thought there would be many attendants there, if there would be a royal court, if there would be worshipers there. surely this baby would be well cared for, well loved, had the best of all they could offer, for this would be the pride of Israel. This would be their Messiah, the one who came to save the world. But what did they find when they arrived? Let's go back to Matthew chapter 2. Again, in verse 1, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is this newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it arose, and we've come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is this Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are not the least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come to you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them from the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for this child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go worship him too." Can you imagine the disappointment that must have been on the wise men's faces when they got to Herod's palace and there was no Jesus there? The Messiah wasn't there. They must have expected to find Jesus in the palace because that's why they went there first. Because surely he would be there. Surely the pride of Israel, this newborn baby, would be well cared for, well protected, well loved in a palace. As I was going back and looking at King Herod's palace, he had four palaces actually, but the one that was in Jerusalem was magnificent. It was a place that had huge walls. They were made of white marble. It's a feat in itself just to build the walls. He had beautiful gardens where they actually had water running through the garden that you could see and hear. They had large statues. They actually had pigeons that were trained that ran through the gardens. There were many great rooms in the palace. They had some of the best furniture in the world at that time in the palace. Furniture that had gold and silver and ornaments throughout. And there were many large bedrooms. And many of these large bedrooms could sleep 100 people. There was plenty of room for the Messiah, for this baby, to have a whole room to himself, to have attendants wait on him hand and foot, to be well cared for, to be well fed. The ancient historian and writer Josephus said, "The palace exceeds my ability to describe it." But naturally, if you're looking for a child who so much was foretold about, this is where you would expect to find him. This is where you thought the King of the Jews should be living. King Herod had the room. This child should be the most protective and loved child in all of Israel. Let me ask you again, what are you hoping to see this Christmas? What are your expectations? Because remember, in general, your expectations control your conduct. I believe the wise men were surprised in what they saw. Let's read on in verses 9 through 16. in verse 9. He says, after this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star had seen in the east, guided them to Bethlehem. He went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. Oh, this must be a great place, right? This must be a huge guarded mansion of some kind. Verse 10. And when they saw the star, they were filled with great joy. Verse 11. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Let's just stop there. So they get to where he is. They get to where the baby is. And I believe the wise men were surprised. Instead of seeing a beautiful mansion, instead of seeing guarded palace, they find a home of a peasant couple. A couple that didn't have much. Probably may have been even a home that they rented. It was dark inside. It only had one room. And it was in a little town called Bethlehem, right outside of Jerusalem. I don't think it was what they were expecting to see. I think they were kind of had that look on their face. Well, I didn't see this coming. Did you? Have you ever said that? I didn't see this coming, but here it is. How many Christmases were we hoping to see what we thought we were going to see, and then we didn't see what we saw? For all of us in our times have followed the star full of hope, and only to find out we're not expecting to see what we thought we were going to see. I've attended many graduations of students that have gotten their diplomas under their arms with a smile on their faces, excited, ready to go out and get their dream job, only to hear a few months later they're still living with dad and mom and they're working a job they'd never dreamed they'd be working. Or the beautiful couple that looks like they got everything going for them. Their future is hope, is bright, it's full of hope. And I stand before them and they get married. And then a few years later I hear that their marriage has ended. Or how many times have I talked to people that say, man, I'm getting a promotion soon. I've applied. I want to get this promotion. And then to hear a few weeks later, they gave it to somebody else. Or the one who is ready to retire and can hardly wait and tell me, oh man, just a few more months and I'll be retired, chaplain. And then they retire, and then a few months later they're calling me saying, you know, this retirement thing isn't what I thought it was going to be. I would give anything to go back to work today. Do you ever feel like your great plans just don't work out? Like you're expecting to see something and it doesn't happen the way you expect it to happen? Isn't that how Charlie Brown must always feel? Every Christmas, Charlie Brown, or around Christmas, gets ready to kick that ball. And Lucy puts it down and says, I promise, I'm going to hold it right here. And every time Charlie Brown gears himself up, oh, I'm going to get it this time. Oh, I'm going to kick it. And he goes running with all his might. And he goes to kick it. And she moves it to the last second. And then you hear, ah! And he falls down on his back. And again, it's not what he was expecting to see. The beautiful part of the Christmas story to me is how these wise men responded. When they finally get to the small little one-room house with this poor little couple, Mary and Joseph, and their little toddler, Jesus. They could have thrown up their hands in the air and go, "Ugh! We travel all this way? And this is the Messiah? This is the King of the Jews? All this way to see this?" We follow the star with great expense. It cost us so much. We were hoping and believing we'd see the King of the Jews, a child, a promise and royalty. Instead, we're seeing a poor couple that has nothing except this little child dressed not in fine clothes of luxury, but living in the lowest means possible. What did these wise men do? How did they respond when what they saw was not what they were expecting to see? Verse 11 tells it all again. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their gift chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So here's the point I want you to hear today. They did not allow their expectations to control their conduct. Can I tell you that might be a definition of faith? It's when you don't allow your expectations to control your behavior, that you respond with faith and choose to believe in spite of what you see. What a beautiful picture for these wise men. They responded seeing God in one of the most unexpected places on the planet. They responded with faith and they chose to worship him anyway. Even though the Jewish people, their own people, were looking for a Messiah that would come and deliver them from Rome, they worshiped him as for who he is, God. And they praised him in spite of what they saw. My prayer is that you and I will worship God this Christmas and throughout the remainder of the year with eyes of faith. Just as Mary and Joseph must have told the wise men all the things that happened to them and how the baby was born and what a miracle it was because Mary was a virgin and how God gave her this baby and how there were shepherds that showed up and they weren't, you know, they were telling their story, I'm sure. And the wise men just sat and laughed and listened. Held the baby in their arms, kissed its head, and worshiped him. You may remember Dr. Henry Blackaby. He wrote the book, Experiencing God. It was really popular in the 90s. All you old guys like me, you may remember that. We probably went through that. It was a great, great opportunity. His son, Richard Huckabee, is also a great teacher. And I've had the privilege of spending some time with him. And I got to hear him at a conference. And he said this. He made a statement, which I thought was really good. He said, the key is not for God to give us what we want, but to learn to want what God gives. Can I say that again? The key is not for God to give us what we want, but to learn to want what God gives. When I don't see what I expect to see, can I still have the eyes of faith to say, God, I choose to trust you through this? There are two things I want you to take away, and I'm going to close with this very quickly. Number one is, When you don't see what you're expecting to see, look for God. Look for God. When you don't see what you're expecting to see, look for God, because God is there. Remember when we looked at Psalms 23 of earlier this year, and we went through the whole Psalms? I don't think I mentioned this, but you remember, you know how that when David wrote that psalm? He wrote it in a cave. He wrote it in a time when Absalom, his own son, was after him to kill him. He probably never thought he'd ever see one of his children trying to kill him and take his throne from him. But in that cave, he reflected on God, and he thought about God, and he remembered his time as a shepherd boy and how God was with him. And he wrote those famous words: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," when things don't make sense, when it doesn't look like what I thought it was going to look like, "I'm not going to fear evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff," they do what? They comfort me. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup, oh, it runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David saw God in one of the most unexpected times in his life. Can I tell you that's the difference between a follower of Christ who has faith and one who does not? Can I tell you that a weak Christian only sees God when they have everything looks the way they want it to look, but it takes a mature person of faith to see God even when things appear like maybe they didn't think they were going to appear? They can still find God. The wise men were truly wise men because they saw God in that small home, even when it was not where they expected to find God. Second thing, when you don't see what you expect to see, give God your very best at all times. Give God your very best at all times. You know what amazes me about these wise men? They did what most people probably would not have done. Most people may have gotten there and they saw the little house and they saw the living conditions of Mary and Joseph and the baby, and they thought, well, I don't know. Do we really need to give this one our best? Do we really need to give it the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh? We just pat him on the head and go back home. Even though it didn't look like they thought it was going to look like, they followed through and gave their very best. It says in verse 11 again, "They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Again, let me ask you, will you and I have eyes of faith if we don't see what we're expecting to see this Christmas? Can we still see God and worship him? Because I would like to say everybody's going to have the perfect Christmas this year. But can I tell you, I've never had the perfect Christmas. I don't know, I've never had the Christmas would make an American painting kind of thing. Have you? My mom always forgets the rolls and burns them. That's a guarantee. And, not every kid is always happy at Christmas. Somebody didn't get what they wanted. And it's usually me. No. It's never the perfect scenario. And life goes on and things happen. And if Christmas doesn't work out exactly the way you want it to, can you still see God this Christmas? Can you see God and worship Him? Because that's what Christmas is about. It's about God leaving heaven, coming to earth to die for us so that our sins could be forgiven. So that one day, because He rose again, we can go meet Him.